This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to ESPN 1000. First Midwest Bank Studio is the spot. In the studio all alone, I'm David Kaplan. Through the glass, the two best in the game, Danny Zetterman, and the four seed today in the game, Christopher Bleck, who he better eviscerate Adam Abdallah. Welcome into the show. Phone lines are open, 312-332-3776. We'll get to baseball in a little bit. Jesse's going to join us at 9:35. We haven't talked to him in a while about, you know, these reports that Jeff Passan broke, the story that MLB's talking about trying to come back but quarantining the players. And we had this debate on the show yesterday. Chris Sale was on last night on SportsCenter, and here's what he had to say, because Tim Anderson on this show, he talked about it. We'll play him, but I believe there's a lot of players that will push back on this. This is Chris Sale on SportsCenter last night.
I think it's going to be tough. I don't know if I could look at my kids just through a screen for 4 or 5 months. And same thing goes with my wife, you know, just not being able to be around. That's a long time. I think there's a lot of figuring out to do. I think there's a right way to do this, and I'm confident that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, all the owners, all the teams, players, I think that we're going to be able to find a way to come together and iron this stuff out and figure out a way that's safe and a way that's going to please the masses. We have all the right people in the right spot to figure out the best way to do this. And you know, I'm as interested as anybody to see how all this shakes out.
So that was Chris Sale last night. And there have been reports that some players are going, I'm not going to quarantine. Sorry. Now, MLB had reached an agreement to pay a portion of the monies that these guys would get, a portion of it, and that payment is going to be made here in the coming days. But you've got some players who have made so much money that, yes, they want to make all their money and they want to play, but some who have said, nah, you know what, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to get quarantined for 4.5 months, despite the fact that it might make me my money. But Tim Anderson on this show yesterday, I asked him this question about being away.
That may be tough to be away from my family, but I can't accept the fact that, you know, they got to eat. So I'm down for whatever to feed my family.
There you go. And he went on to say, this is how I feed my family, and this is what we do for a living, and this is how I'm going to support us for the rest of our lives. So I got to make my money. If that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. It's 4.5 months for the rest of our life. 312-332-3776. I want to get to basketball. We'll get back to baseball when Jesse joins us. I've been all over this story since November, and I kept assuring people massive change is coming to the Chicago Bulls. Massive. And I know there were a lot of doubters, Garpak's this, and I know the narrative, and you hear those names. Everyone's like, oh boy, Gar and Pax and Gar. Listen to me. Casey Johnson has been 100% accurate on this and what he's written at NBCSportsChicago.com. And Vincent Goodwill last night had a story that Arturis Karnisovas, the name that I was talking about yesterday with you guys and gals, Arturis Karnisovas is the guy. This is the guy. It's his job if he wants it. Now, could he say I don't want it? I guess. But I talked to a very close friend of his last night, and he told me Arturis is telling him, I'm taking that job. So he has not had his sit-down via video conferencing with Michael and Jerry. I believe that will happen today. But I would not be shocked to see this deal done within the next 4 or 5 days, that they get their new head of basketball operations. Now, Joe Colley reported that Pax is willing, if asked, to walk away from the organization. That is not going to happen. That is an accurate story. He absolutely, 100%, has told Jerry and Michael, look, if the new guy doesn't want me around, doesn't feel I have any value to do anything for him, and he wants me out of the organization, too much water under the bridge, I'm willing to walk away. I could tell you Jerry and Michael value him as a person. As he's a great guy. He is. Whatever you think about the job that's gotten done, he is a great person. And they said, we want you then to be with us. Be a consultant to us, a special assistant to us. John will have zero say. Listen to me. Zero say. Him being around is not an impediment to getting who they want. And Karnisovas told a friend of mine, I have no problem with Pax being around. I like the guy. None whatsoever. But it will be his decision or Justin Zanuck or whoever ends up taking that job. They will have 100% authority to do what they want to do. If they come in and say, all right, I'll take the job, and they agree to their deal, and they say, I'm bringing Chris Bleck in as my assistant, Danny Zetterman is the new director of scouting, and David Kaplan's the coach, that's what they get. Jerry allows his executives. He let Ken Harrelson fire Tony La Russa, and he says, I knew it was a mistake when we did it, but how do I judge a GM if I don't let him do his job? Period. I'm telling you, that's how this is going to go down. I believe it'll be Arturis Karnisovas. Could it be Justin Zanuck or a name that we haven't heard? Maybe. And then it's going to be a multi-layered hire. They are going to completely overhaul the entire scouting department. They are going to completely overhaul the front office. There's one guy in the office that they really like that's a rising star that they are not going to let other teams talk to, and they're going to keep him. But you're going to have, let's use Karnisovas as the name because that's who I think it will be. Him at the top. Second guy, the guy I would hire, is a guy named Matt Lloyd. Matt's name has been bandied about for this job. Matt Lloyd worked for the Bulls. He was a media relations guy who moved into basketball, and he's got an incredible work ethic. And 9 years ago, Orlando hired him away, and he's now their assistant GM, and he is a rising star in the game. Can they get him back? They'd have to give him a promotion and a big pay raise. He is a phenomenal guy. Would I bring him in as my number two or number three? 100%. 100%. And then I can promise you, Danny has a better chance of being the head coach of the Bulls next year than Jim Boylan. There's no chance he's coming back. They are going to completely overhaul the coaching staff. They are going to completely overhaul player development. That's just how it's going to go. There is going to be massive change. And I thought KC made a great point on Sports Talk Live with me this week. I don't know if people really realize how much of a watershed moment this is for the Bulls. Jerry Reinsdorf, since he bought the team, has never hired a front office executive. I'm talking about at the top of the food chain that wasn't already in the organization. He brought Jerry Krause in. And Jerry Krause had been with the Bulls. Then he was over at the White Sox, and they brought him back to the Bulls. And then Jerry was there through the whole run. They finally got rid of Jerry. They handed it to Pax, who's already in the organization. And then Pax handed it to Gar. Gar got it taken away, and they gave it back to Pax. And now they're going outside the organization and completely overhauling everything. Michael Reinsdorf has done a ton of homework. He has gone out. Pax put a list together. Here are the top executives in the game. Michael went out and did his homework on all of these guys. And again, John has made it clear. If the new guy doesn't want me around here, I will leave. That is an accurate, true story. He is going to have zero say. But from what I hear, Karnisovas likes John Paxson. But again, John will have zero say. As for Gar, I'll be surprised if he's even in the organization. Maybe they farm him out to be in charge of scouting Alaska, maybe, so that he can have a payday, I guess, maybe. But what I'm hearing is he probably won't be there. But either guy will get zero say, period. So just want to be clear. 312-332-3776. They also are going to need to hire a new head coach. Who I would hire? I could just tell you this. I know they have a good relationship. who I would hire would be Tom Thibodeau. I would call Tom Thibodeau. I would clear the... He and Pax are in a really good place. He and Gar don't speak. Gar won't be involved, so that's irrelevant. I would bring Tom Thibodeau back as my head coach. I would not make him team president like he was in Minnesota. I wouldn't have him involved in player personnel. You're coaching the basketball team. What's that going to cost me? Here's the paycheck. Here's what it is. Fix the culture. Because I've been told that people close to Lowry say Lowry loves being here, loves Chicago, loves being a Bull, does not like playing for Boylan, doesn't like how he's used, his support system, his personal trainer, all of that. Don't like Boylan. Boylan is not going to be the coach, period. So you are going to have a complete clean out of everything going on in basketball operations with the Chicago Bulls, including player development, where they have failed spectacularly since Jimmy Butler. We have not seen lately guys get better and better. And when Tibbs was here, you think about some of the guards that they picked up off the scrap heap that went and got paydays somewhere else. DJ Augustine, Etuan Moore. You had Nate Robinson come in from nowhere and end up being a really good player when Derek was hurt. They just kept adding these guys, like, who's that guy? And boom, these guys played well. So that's what I would do. That's what I would do. I would hire Tom Thibodeau back. What would you do? 312-332-3776. Do you feel better about the Bulls if they went down this road that I just laid out for you? Arturis Karnisovas, complete autonomy, the top of the food chain. Bring in a solid, well-respected number two. That's a good guy and that people can relate to. A guy like Matt Lloyd, who's with Orlando, if you can get him away. And then bring in a new college scouting director. And then overhaul scouting, overhaul player development, and get a new coaching staff. What do you think? 312-332-3776. You are listening to ESPN 1000. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, phone lines are hopping. ESPN 1000. With Danny and Chris, I'm David Kaplan. Jesse will join us to update what's going on with Major League Baseball at 9:35. And looking forward to talking to Danny Manning of Danny and the Miracles. That's why our boy Zed went to Kansas. He was like a little 8-year-old, 10-year-old boy when he watched Danny and the Miracles beat Stacey King with his awesome dad, Harry, who, by the way, I spent probably an hour combined talking to Harry Zetterman last night and then Debbie Zetterman, your sister. They're so much nicer than you.
Yeah, they're more your speed. They're very social. They don't like to be alone.
And they like to talk on the phone.
Exactly. Total opposite of me.
Yeah. And I got some great stories on you.
Well, I'm glad they sold me out.
Mrs. Ozuno's class? We'll tell that one later.
Ozuno?
Yeah, what was your second grade teacher?
Miss Ozima.
Ozima, sorry.
I know what story you're going to tell.
I got some great stuff. Debbie's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And the best athlete in the family. By a mile. According to her. 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. Howard is on the north side.
Good morning.
Big Howard, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning. I have two questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Can you give me some background on this new general manager? And what time is Sports Talk Live on? I used to be on 6 o'clock, but it's not on anymore.
Yeah, we're on 6:30 on the My Teams app, YouTube TV, and NBCSportsChicago.com. Back on linear on Monday.
6:30?
Yes, sir.
NBC Sports Chicago?
Yep.
Okay, what about the new GM?
The new GM, a guy named Arturis Karnisovas is how I pronounce it. We'll find out if he ends up, you know, agreeing to this deal. He'll tell us how to pronounce it, but that's how I've been told it is. Arturis Karnisovas was the FIBA Player of the Year. That is the Federation of International Basketball. He is wildly connected over in Europe. He has had a large influence on the Denver Nuggets. He was one of the guys behind the trade that sent Doug McDermott's draft rights to Chicago for Yusuf Nurkic and Gary Harris, which turned out to be a very aggressive move by the Bulls, but a wildly unsuccessful move and a great trade for the Denver Nuggets. This guy has wonderful contacts in the scouting and development world. He is well-liked by the players that he has brought into that organization. I'll give you just some of his playing. 3-time FIBA Eurostar, FIBA European selection, EuroLeague Finals top scorer, FIBA European Player of the Year, 3-time Spanish League champion, Spanish Kings Cup winner, Italian League champion, and that's the best. Spanish and Italian basketball are among the best in all of Europe. He is from Lithuania. He is a really good dude. He's a big guy. He's 6'8", but they said he is as good a person to deal with. He played college at Seton Hall. He was undrafted and then had a 15-year professional playing career in Europe. Just a really good guy. And so they're excited if they end up closing this deal. I'm told he's going to interview again today on video, and we'll find out how this all works out. But Arturis Karnisovas is the guy. Okay?
I got another question. Who do you think the Bulls are going to draft in the NBA draft?
Well, we don't know because, first of all, are we going to finish the season? So we have no idea how that's all going to shake out in terms of the draft. Are they going to get the top pick in the lottery? Are they going to pick 13th? All of this is up in the air. So in terms of a draft, no idea. All I can tell you is they got to get a point guard. They got to get a guy who can run the offense. Coby White is more of a Jamal Crawford scoring style guy. He's not ready to hand the ball to and go, okay, run the offense. Get us into where we need to be, and then let's make things happen. They need more talent. They have some. They have some good pieces. But the amazing thing is I was talking with another current head coach in the NBA today, this morning, on my way in. Is it a good job? He said, is it a good job? He goes, dude, that's one of the best jobs in the league. He said, I'm amazed that there are people out there who think it's a bad job. He said, you got amazing fans, amazing city, amazing facilities. You got an owner who will be as loyal as they come. He goes, guys are lining up like planes at O'Hare to get that job. He said, and if they can get that kid from out of Denver, that guy, he said, he's really good, really good. So we'll see. 312-332-3776. So would that make you excited if Arturis Karnisovas is the guy? I would bring in a really, really strong number two, and I would like it to be a number two that has a really good personality, a guy that can be kind of out there in the community and out there in the scouting world selling Bulls basketball and is really good at his job. On top of it, for me, that's Matt Lloyd. He's as good a guy. He was a Bull here many years ago, but the last 9 years he's been in Orlando, and a lot of teams in the league have tried to hire him. He has always stayed loyal to the team that gave him this great opportunity in Orlando, but this is where he would love to come back to, I think, at some point. I'd bring him in here absolutely as the number two to Arturis Karnisovas. That's what I would do, and then I would go hire Tom Thibodeau back as coach. I would. He and John have cleared the air. They're in a good place. John's not going to have any say anymore. But I'm just telling you, Tom Thibodeau, don't make him team president. Don't make him general manager. Simply say, we want you to coach the basketball team. But we all got to be on the same page. And he and Karnisovas have a very, very good relationship. So if you've got a front office that is going to be overhauled, scouting and player development going to be overhauled, and you could get the best possible coach out there, that's who I'd hire. I'm not going to the college ranks. I'm not. They've gone down that road. I want a professional basketball coach. That's who I'd hire. Mike has other ideas. He's in Hanover Park. 312-332-3776. Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
Yeah, how's it going? I like Tibbs. I think that'd be a good hire, but I would also look at Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, he almost took the Warriors to the finals, and I don't know. I think he'd be a good hire, or one of the Van Gundy brothers. I don't know if they're still going to be open to coaching, but that would be a good.
Yeah, first of all, the Van Gundys and the Bulls organization not in a good place. A,
yeah.
B, you're talking about Mark Jackson has not coached in 6 years. There's a reason that he has not been able to get another job. I don't think his personality and this organization would be a good fit. I don't. There's a reason that he's still out there on the market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's just my take on Mark Jackson. I'm sure he's a very good coach. He was a hell of a player, very intelligent guy, all of that. But I would bypass Mark Jackson. I would hire Tibbs. I appreciate your call, Mike. 312-332-3776. I love having basketball discussions with my guy, Chris Bleck. So, Chris Bleck, if I laid that plan out to you and said that's going to happen, would you be wildly excited, a little excited? Where are you as a Bulls fan and basketball analyst?
Well, it's a layered conversation. First of all, from the jump, it's exciting because it's not what we've seen for the last decade and a half, right? Like, that's exciting that the team's moving in a different direction. Now, if you said a month ago, who's the dream candidate that you would want to run the organization? I'm not sold that Karnisovas would be the guy many people would name. Is he the best available option? That might be. I also know that if you look at current draft record, he has drafted well for the Nuggets. That's why they are where they are. Picking in 2016, Jamal Murray was a great pick. You look at the draft in 2014, where not only did he draft in the second round Nikola Jokic, he also pulled off the trade for drafting Doug McDermott and then trading him for the Bulls and fleecing them for Gary Harrison Nurich. So that is a great move. He drafted Rudy Gobert. You could also point to last year drafting Michael Porter, who is a player who hasn't contributed it really. He started to play a little bit more this season, starting to come into his own off the bench, but not really a marquee star in the making yet.
Yeah, that was a dice roll because of the back surgery.
Dice roll. They also traded away in 2017. They drafted Donovan Mitchell at 13 and traded him to Utah for two picks who really haven't done a whole lot. Tyler Layden and Trey Lyles.
Right.
So, like, they had a star, Donovan Mitchell. Now, if Donovan Mitchell's on the Nuggets, that's a different Nugget team, right? Mm-hmm. They traded him away. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some good, some really good, some questionable draft picks as well. But overall, a positive when you look at that. So I would be excited there. And if you laid out everything else, I mean, Tom Thibodeau is a really good head coach. Is he going to be okay being just the head coach? Because we know in other spots, he's tried to dabble into the front office parts of it as well. And if he has a good working relationship with whoever brings him in, that's a stellar pairing. I don't think there's anything really negative to look at there. I just think that a month ago looking at this, I don't know if this was what Bulls fans were hoping would be the dream scenario. I think it's a good scenario, a very good scenario.
What was the dream scenario?
Probably a Masai Ujiri or someone of that
Sam
caliber.
Presti.
Or like the pie in the sky, hope that Steve Kerr retires from coaching but wants to run an organization type of thing like he did with Phoenix. That type of thing. I think that would be, wouldn't those be the dream scenario categories, the Sam Prestis, the Masai Ujiri, Steve Kerr's? Like, I feel like this is a solid B+ across the board, and I think that's still much better than what we've been dealing with. So I think it's overall a very positive way to look at it. Now it goes back to the age-old question. Can the Chicago Bulls land stars? The Nuggets have not landed stars. They've drafted them. They've drafted stars. And they have paid their stars. They've given new contracts to the stars that they've developed. But can they land stars? And that'll be the same question we'll have to answer with the Bulls.
312-332-3776. We'll get an update from Jesse Rogers on the possibility of baseball in May. That is next.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, this weekend we have amazing programming, 2 to 6, Saturday and Sunday. Must listen to radio. Classic Masters. That's right. We're going to play Classic Masters Radio on what would be the Masters weekend if we were having it. That's going to be amazing. I can't wait to listen. Cannot wait to listen to that. Classic Masters Radio on ESPN 1000 this weekend. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to this Bulls conversation. Chris and I and Danny want to get a little more in-depth on what I think is going to happen. But we'll get to all of that in a little bit. Jesse Rogers is part of our family here, and he joins us now. Jesse, good morning.
Morning, Cap. You staying safe, pal?
Everybody is, knock on wood, man, staying safe and healthy and washing our hands a billion times. My hands look like they're raw from washing so much, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
How about you?
The best of it. I'm good, good. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been pretty sequestered with the family here, so I haven't had to go down to the studio like you and stuff like that. So it's been pretty easy to do the social distancing when you're just working from home on your laptop, right?
Absolutely. So, all right, let's talk about what was reported by Jeff Passan that MLB is seriously considering getting all the teams to be quarantined in the Phoenix Scottsdale area and play all the games there, triple headers at Chase Field, the whole deal. And Tim Anderson was on with us yesterday from the White Sox. He said, I've already had a long talk with my wife, and we completely are on board with, hey, man, this is how we make a living. And if this is what I have to do, this is what I have to do. And Chris Sale didn't sound as convincing, and I've read some other players going, no, I don't want to be quarantined for 4.5 months. So where are we on all of this?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people within the game, agents, players. I even talked to a couple wives yesterday through, you know, via text. You know, they grabbed the phone and gave their thoughts a little bit. And most people's initial reaction, Cap, is, boy, this is insane. How are they going to pull it off? But then the next reaction was, you know what? We got to try something. And I think it's a sign of how desperate we all are and how desperate they are to try to put a product on the field that, yeah, it sounds insane. It sounds impossible, this whole quarantining everybody, the biosphere, but they are willing to listen. That's my feeling. I told Waddle yesterday that, yeah, there might be some guys today that are against it. You know, Chris Bryant's about to have a baby. He would have to leave. But I think at the end of the day, if the health issues can be taken care of and these guys get their paychecks, I think they're going to be on board if we can get to that point. So, yeah, you might get some pushback now, Cap, because nobody knows the details. How is this going to work? Are we going to get our full paychecks? All those questions are still up in the air. But if they can start checking off boxes, I think players would go for it. I think more players than not are willing to pretty much go for anything that gets them paid and certainly keeps them safe.
So do you think that this is just a bunch of random ideas that they threw up against a wall and one of them got leaked to Passan, who is wildly connected, or this is seriously a possibility?
I think they're in the top of the first inning on this thing. So I think the newsworthy part of it was the fact that they brought up May. Like if they had just reported yesterday, they're thinking about playing all games in Phoenix whenever the virus allows it. That would have just, I think it would have been news, but not enough for the league to come back and send out a statement pushing back against it. You know, it just became very specific very quickly, this mid-May startup. But as I just mentioned, they are at the very early stage of this thing. So, yes, they are serious about it. There's no doubt they are, but they have so many boxes to check that they can't come close to saying, well, you know, we're going to do this. They're really, really are very early in this thing. So, you know, it leaked actually to AP the night before. So it leaked to a couple different places. But the fact that mid-May was put in there or any time in May was to me the newsworthy part of this thing. And the reason it was even, you know, leaked in terms of a timeline was the medical part of this thing. I think the government is certainly excited about an aggressive timeline. And if the medical people can sign off on it, they're willing to go as early as May on this thing. And you know, we know Trump's been a little bit more on the aggressive side than the other side, right? You know, he's been pushing, let's get this thing open. And I think the medical people are telling baseball, you can do this if you do this right, this right, this right, this right, mostly being sequestered and testing and all that stuff. So that's where this all came about. But I don't know if it's any more of a real idea today than any of the other ideas we heard before. But they're certainly investigating it, Cap.
So when do you think we'll start to hear that they are seriously moving in this direction. Are they going to wait another month? Are we talking a week? Where is this?
They're doing all the due diligence. They're starting to do it now. How can we do this? But I think obviously the virus is going to tell us when they know. You know, when can they announce something? The virus is going to tell us. I think they think, and this is just my speculation, that the peak nationwide is coming. If it hasn't already, maybe in New York, you know, and sometime in May, we're going to be on the other side of it. But I'm not sure they can guarantee this quarantine the way they think they might be able to. I mean, those are the details we need to hear about. But I think they're going down all these paths right now, because what else do they have to do but come up with these ideas? And if they can guarantee the quarantine in these hotels and the quarantining the bus driver and all these other things they have to do, then, you know, maybe they will announce something at the appropriate time. But I think they can't do that until the medical people sign off on it.
The Cubs had, I know we heard that two employees in the organization, game day employees, I believe they were, had tested positive. Everything else, I don't know how they're doing. I wish I did. I hope they're well. I hope they're recovering. Do we know anything else about the Cubs front office and, you know, business and baseball ops side?
No, I haven't heard anything new in terms of that. I do know that, you know, the Wrigley Field and Sloan Park all got that deep cleaning that they did that early on. But I haven't heard anything new in terms of where those employees are in terms of their health and all that stuff. So hopefully they're okay, like you said. I still think, you know, just to move this forward, I still think that the idea of travel isn't as insane as it sounds, because these teams go on chartered flights. And, yeah, you have to make sure the planes are clean, all that. But, like, I still think that, you know, the two options of playing everything in Arizona under some quarantine, or waiting it out and playing somewhat of a normal schedule with no fans at Wrigley Field, no fans at, you know, I still think either one of those could happen, Cap. And it all comes down to where they are in terms of testing more than anything. And then obviously you have to have something in place if someone tests positive. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this, but I don't think necessarily one plan is ahead of the other. This is just the latest one they've put out there, because it would involve no travel. But I'm not convinced that you can't travel if you're on these chartered flights. And if you can quarantine everybody in Arizona, why can't you quarantine one plane? Now, you have to arrive at a city and, you know, deal with whatever happens there. But I still think everything's on the table, is I guess what I'm saying. And luckily, though, you know, in terms of these teams, we're not hearing a lot about a lot of positive tests.
Yeah, I'm also hearing that MLB has put a rule in. You cannot talk to player agents or players about contracts right now. Is that true?
Yeah, that's been since basically it went down. Yeah, I mean, remember, Javi Baez was, I think, pretty close to a deal. I do. It was either that or they were pretty close to saying, we're done talking right now. Let's wait till the All-Star break. I mean, they were coming down to the final days, and it wasn't going to be, you know, the eve of the season. Their cutoff date was going to be probably about a week before the season, and I think they were getting close to a deal. As soon as the shutdown happened, the conversation ended. So I think that's been in place, whether that be a rule in place, or just teams have agreed to not talk about contracts right now. One way or another, they've done that since the shutdowns started.
All right, Jesse, please stay safe and healthy, okay, kid?
You got it. I'll update as info comes out. Talk to you soon.
You're the best. See ya. There you go. That's our guy, Jesse Rogers. That's the latest on the MLB situation. We'll get back to the Bulls situation. We'll talk buckets with Danny Manning of Danny and the Miracles, the former Kansas star, now the head coach at Wake Forest. He wants to talk some hoops with us, so he's going to never turn that guy down. And football with Dan Graziano at 10 o'clock. Tom Brady sat down with Howard Stern today, did an amazing interview. Tom Brady on his relationship with Bill Belichick next.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We'll be right back. Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. So Tom Brady was on with Howard Stern, who might be the best interviewer of all time.
Not might be.
The list I saw had him number two to Larry King.
Larry King's list.
Pretty freaking amazing.
Larry King interviewed Jerry Seinfeld once. It's a famous clip, and seemed like he had no clue about Jerry Seinfeld having the greatest sitcom in the history of TV. At that point, he lost me.
Yeah, he was a pretty amazing interviewer.
He was great. We had him in studio once with Carmen and Yurko. He was great. A super nice guy. His stories were incredible. I'm not poo-pooing Larry King. I just think Howard Stern, now that he's on Sirius XM and there's no commercials and there's no time limits.
And no filter.
And he talked to Tom Brady this morning for 2 hours and 19 minutes. And from what I was following, with no sports going on, NFL writers were listening to this for every chunk of news they could get. They were all saying that Howard was getting things out of Tom Brady that nobody's ever got out of him before. He talked about how he skipped OTAs with the Patriots late in his career there because his marriage to Giselle was on the rocks. She was not happy with the marriage. She wrote him this long letter expressing her feelings, saying, listen, man, things have got to change. And that's when he's like, listen, I got to be home more. He skipped OTAs to stay home and do more around the house. Like, taking us inside the Brady household.
I read that at break, where in that story that you're talking about, she said to him, I get it during football. You're all football and I'll run the house and I get it. And apparently he goes, you all see her as a supermodel. She's a very spiritual person. She meditates every day. Like, she is family, 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 family. He goes, it's not, the glamour that you all see. And when the season ended, he goes, now I can get into running TB12. I can get to OTAs. I can lift at the stadium. I can do all my... And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. When are you going to take the kids to school? When are you going to be around? Like, it was a really intense article.
And that is the stuff of Tom Brady none of us know.
Correct.
Which is interesting.
Correct. 312-332-3776. Here is Brady on his relationship. This is with Howard Stern, with Bill Belichick.
I know genuinely how he feels about me. Now, I'm not going to respond to every rumor or assumption that's made, other than what his responsibility as coach is to try to get the best player for the team, not only in the short term, but in the long term as well. So what I could control was trying to be the best I could be in both of those situations also. I got into uncharted territory. So I got to a point where I was old. I was an older athlete. And he started to plan for the future.
So, interesting stuff. And then he went on to say, I couldn't do his job. He couldn't do my job. So, interesting. Interesting.
So, Danny was giving you names for the best interviewers that you guys have ever heard. There's a name you're missing. You mentioned the Larry Kings, the Howard Sterns.
Barbara Walters.
Oprah. You could select a whole bunch of different people throughout the years from 60 Minutes. Mm-hmm. All very good.
Yep.
A little AC360 for you, Cappy. Mm-hmm. What about an Andy Cohen? I think Andy Cohen is fantastic. Mm-hmm. How about a name you guys are glossing over? It's unbelievable. David Letterman. What's wrong with you guys? No Letterman love?
I liked Letterman. He never had the time or the forum to get Stern had 2 hours and 19 minutes.
Yeah.
Barbara Walters, 60 minutes. These people would get...
That's what Letterman's new show on Netflix is.
I was going to say, to Chris's point, if you've seen Letterman's new show on Netflix, it's phenomenal. He does a great job. The old late night show, I mean, when he has 7 minutes and the producer asks all the questions beforehand.
Right. And it's a canned, tell me a story about this so you sound interesting.
But was
so people go to see your movie.
Who was the one after Hugh Grant got caught with the prostitute when he said, what were you thinking, man? And that became like a viral clip. Was that on Letterman?
I think that was Leno, right?
Maybe it was Leno.
I think Leno got the Hugh Grant.
I can't remember.
I'm shocked that you guys didn't say Letterman.
He just didn't cross my mind. You're right. The Netflix show is phenomenal, where it's just two guys sitting on a stage, or a guy, Letterman and a gal sitting on the stage just going back and forth having a conversation. That's great, and Letterman's great at that. I was thinking back to the days of him in the late night show, and it didn't even cross my mind.
So if you guys could have one person...
By the way, you're right, it was Leno.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Leno, 1995.
if there was one person you could consume their interviews for the rest of time, you would pick Howard?
I would probably pick Howard.
For sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Yep. 100%. First of all, he can ask things because people know what they're getting when they agree to go on right away. If you agree to go on and you want the massive reach that he has.
You could argue this. The same exact argument could be used for Letterman.
I think what both those guys have that make them great interviewers is that they're so big a lot of times they're bigger than the guests. Like, if Leonardo DiCaprio was to come on this show, we would just be so excited to be talking to Leonardo DiCaprio that he would take the time for us, that it would be a different interview. Whereas if Leonardo DiCaprio goes on Stern, arguably Stern's just as big as Leo.
Right.
And in a lot of times, the guest is more excited to be talking to Howard than Howard is to be talking to the guest.
A good point.
And that's why they open up, because they want to impress him. They want to play along. They want to participate in this conversation.
Right, because it's an equal plane. So there's no, like, no one person has the hand of the interview, right?
No one's doing anyone a favor.
Right, because many times, like you said, if it's Leo and Howard Stern, both equally famous, therefore, there's no favor to be given here, right? Mm-hmm. Where the same thing happens with Letterman, where many like the Jay-Z one, right? Jay-Z with Letterman. Jay-Z is like impressed by Letterman.
Yeah.
And he's asking Letterman questions because he knows how famous Letterman is.
Right.
Would you put Carson in the category?
Yes.
Johnny
except,
Carson?
Like, I loved that when I was a kid, and I've watched classic Carson episodes.
All time great.
However, again, he was in a situation where
he was by far, and like we're talking about the category of people who are more famous than the people they're interviewing.
Carson was the
most famous person in Hollywood interviewing all these stars,
correct,
who were looking up at him because he was so famous.
And his forum, his platform, there weren't 4 billion cable channels. You wanted to be on the biggest, you were on with Johnny. And you go back and watch some of those classic interviews. Johnny Carson was the man. Like, you take Colbert and whoever else has done that time slot in whatever comedy channel, CBS, NBC, ABC, whatever it is, you can add them all together. They don't equal what that guy was.
Well, if Johnny Carson invited you to the couch, like if you were a stand-up comic and you got the wave over to the couch, your career was instantly made.
Correct.
From that point forward, you were a household name. He had that kind of power.
Yeah. But again, there was 257, and that's basically it. There wasn't the Fox Network and the Comedy Channel and the this and the that. We didn't have it that way. It was just different back then. Howard Cosell, someone on Twitter, said that he was also a very, very good interviewer in the sports realm. You know who was a good one? You remember Roy Firestone?
Yeah.
Roy Firestone was very good, and he kind of just disappeared off the map. He's still alive. He's still with us, isn't he?
I'm sure he is.
I don't know whatever happened to him. He was like the guy on ESPN, Roy Firestone. He was huge. He would get you to cry. In fact, in Jerry Maguire, he was in. Like, it was that was like a big deal. If an athlete got on with Roy Firestone,
he's still alive.
How old is he?
He's 66 years old.
Yeah. What happened to him? Like, what is he doing? Like, that guy was, like, he was the thing in sports. I don't know why he just disappeared.
Maybe he decided to hang it up, retire, enjoy life.
I don't know.
You know me, I'm partial to Joe Rogan. I think he's a good interviewer, not because he asks the tough questions, because he just gets people to let their guard down and it's just a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, you're just, you know, shooting the blank with Joe Rogan, just talking about anything and everything.
312-332-3776. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to talk football with our guy, Dan Graziano, who's been a great friend of this show. And we'll get his thoughts on what the Bears have done. We'll go around the league. We'll talk a whole bunch of football with Dan Graziano next.